Hi, this is Daniel Garber at the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, there's a beautiful new movie coming out next week that's different from a lot of the usual films you see. It's a look at the beginnings of love in a rural BC area between Allison, a Toronto illustrator who returns to Creston, BC for a high school reunion, and Todd, a hockey-playing fruit grower at his dad's orchard. It's a sweet and pretty funny realistic take on budding love. One of the differences is that the two main actors, Mae Charters and Mark Hugg, are also the co-writers and co-directors. And today on the phone I have Mae Charters to speak with me from California. Hi, Mae.
Hi. How are you?
Good. So just to start, how do you know Mark Hugg, and how did you come to put this film together?
Yes. Well, Mark and I met almost 11 years ago now. We were acting together here in Los Angeles. Both of us were writing, and I was making films and had my own camera gear and was running around thinking, I've got to make a feature at some point. And Mark and I started talking, and he was telling me stories of his upbringing in Creston, B.C., and I said, God, these stories of yours, Mark, are so adventurous and fun and kind of crazy. And he was writing sort of an idea about two brothers. And I said, well, let's add a girl in there. And then, you know, maybe we've got a story. And because I'd love to, you know, be acting, and let's do something. And so we went up to Creston for his 10-year high school reunion, and I brought my camera. And that was sort of the beginning of a short film, which we came back to LA and edited, and halfway through the process we were like, this is a feature, we should just do it. We have the camera gear, have sound, let's pack up my Jeep and drive up to DC and see if we can actually make a feature out of this. And that's kind of how it began.
So when you wrote the script for Lovers in a Dangerous Time, did it sort of develop as you went along then?
It did, most definitely. We kind of worked like one of my favorite filmmakers, Mike Glee, and rehearsed a lot and improvised a lot while we were on location. Although with him, he tends to do that months in advance and then writes the script. But we were kind of going backwards, it's an unconventional way, a little crazy making. But also, I think once I specifically got to Creston and into the area, I said, man, these locations are so stunning, and they're dictating so much for our characters. Mm-hmm. It's great to be here to write it. And we only had one other serious true actor in the film, a part that plays Bobby. That's Mark Weeb, and he's from Toronto.
He's the younger brother who's the hockey player.
He plays the younger brother. Yeah, exactly. Actually, he's from Alberta. I correct. But he lives in Toronto, and everyone else were real people from the town.
Everyone,
pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
Todd's father is played by Mark's father, and all of his friends are his friends from childhood, and none of them are actors. And we spent a lot of great moments, sort of just working with them and writing things that were very true. They're not necessarily playing themselves, they are playing characters, but they're aspects that they were familiar with, and we never put them in situations that they didn't understand or could be living if they had stayed actually in Creston.
How about your character in it? Was that autobiographical at all? Or?
No. Funnily enough, none of it is for either of us, for Mark or myself. Apart from just a love of childhood, and I think at the time for both of us we were very nostalgic and really were interested in exploring the theme of when you grow up and you sort of miss being that child and that time of your life when you were sort of free and when you're in your mid-20s or confused and still trying to figure things out. That part is autobiographical in the sense that we were experiencing that ourselves. But yes, I am from Toronto, so I guess that is a part of Allison's character, but I'm not an illustrator, although I am a painter. So there are bits and pieces.
And are you Francophone? Or?
I'm not.
Okay, so this is all just made up for the...
It's all made up, yeah, pretty much.
There's a definite spark between the two of you. Are you a couple in real life?
We were at a time.
Okay.
We're not anymore, but we're very good friends. I'm sure we'll have each other in our lives for, you know, forever, I guess, for as long as it lasts.
So that part was real.
That part was real. Yeah, sure.
In the movie, there's scenes in the, you know, in the fall in the orchard and the bright sunny day, and then you have the winter hockey scenes and skating. How long did you spend shooting this?
Yeah, we took our time. We didn't do the typical student film or film, you know, independent person who writes one location and several characters in one location and make it easy on ourselves. We definitely chose to write all four seasons. It starts in the spring, and we did go up for the spring and went come back to Los Angeles to edit and make some more money and do our day jobs and go back up for the summer. And that went on for a year. And then we had a few reshoots that we had to do. Some things occurred with a DP that we had that we had to replace. And so it took a year and a bit to do the filming.
But it was it's beautiful having all the different seasons in it. It's really nice.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I think it's definitely another character in the film, which is what we wanted to accomplish.
I'm speaking with filmmaker Mae Charters about her new movie, Lovers in a Dangerous Time. So I have a question. What exactly is a bush party?
A bush party always occurs in small towns when kids have nothing else to do. Kids will find a spot, and apparently in Creston they were happening quite a lot.
Bush Party Central.
Yeah, it just kids get together and they find a spot that they can sort of hang out and listen to music, and sometimes they have bonfires and the police usually know about them and they sort of keep an eye on it, and yeah.
And was that bush party in the movie, was that an actual one that you sort of took the camera
to? It was.
We
let the police know that we were going to do it, and we had actually a police officer sort of standing at the entrance of this long, winding road up into sort of a bush area right by a train track. And, we sort of put the word out through all the local teenagers and kids, you know, come on out. And, of course, there's drinking in it, which didn't occur for real. There was water in the bottles, and I was the whole time thinking, oh my God, I can't believe we're sort of condoning this sort of idea.
Drunkenness.
You know, but we wanted it to be real, so, you know, it does happen. Granted, pretty much every kid, I didn't know anyone that wasn't under 18, so that was lucky. Yeah.
Is there anything, how would you describe aspects of the movie as quintessentially Canadian? Like, what parts do you think are really Canadian?
Apart from hockey.
Well, hockey for sure.
That's tricky. I guess, well, the landscape dictates that. I love that we were, you know, able to really show the town and the beauty of British Columbia for what it was and not, you know, pretending it was Portland or that kind of aspect. That's very Canadian to me. The locale, hockey, sort of a very certain way of speaking, probably.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously, sort of the locale, yeah, really.
So you're co-directors of the movie. How do you handle directing duties if you're both in it and both directing? Did that get very confusing? Or?
No, not confusing. It's actually, I mean, it is very tricky when once you're directing and acting, so it's wonderful to have another person who has their eye on things, and you can have each other's back, which happens a lot. We're really needing that of each other. Of course, there were a lot of scenes where we were acting ourselves together, so we watched a lot of footage. Sometimes it was just Mark and myself shooting in the orchard with no crew. So I always sort of laugh at myself thinking I'd love to have edited a short film of just footage of Mark and I, you know, clapping for sound, for syncing sound, and running in front of the camera, and the two of us discussing something before we started acting, and then me running back and turning the camera off. There was a lot of that that occurred. But we took the time, which we had, it was a luxury to be able to take the time to really make sure we were doing it right and that it felt natural and we weren't overacting or we weren't missing things. A lot of the time a film, you know, you can shoot it in 18 days or less. You have a lot of more, a lot more money right. than we did. So that, you know, dictates a different style of filmmaking. But with this, we really took our time, which at times was hard and frustrating. We had a lot of family members and friends sort of saying, when is this going to be over? When are you going to finish, guys? And
right.
Just it's coming. And, you know, I know we've Mark and I have talked a lot about that it wouldn't necessarily be how we'd make our next film.
Did you end up living in that town for a year?
No. Just we would shoot, you know, 3 weeks at the most at a time for each season, and then we'd come back to Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Work down here and go back when the seasons were right. For the reunion scene, that's actually a real reunion.
Right.
It's Mark's sister's reunion. So for that particular scene, we really did have to wait a few months until it was actually going to happen to be able to go back up and shoot that.
Right. One of the really distinctive aspects of the movie is the beautiful illustrations that sort of alternate with the live footage. Who did that? Did you do that?
That is me. Yes.
Really nice.
Those are my drawings.
No, they're very pretty, and they look really nice on a big screen.
Yeah, it's fun. I know it was something we would like to have done a lot more of. Allison's storyline evolved very differently from the brother's story. Her character was a little harder because a lot of her sort of emotions of nostalgia and childhood were very internal. She didn't have an outside conflict like a brother or sister to bounce off of. So I was happy that the drawings were at least able to sort of convey certain things in that respect.
Okay, now I'll give you the last word. Is there anything else you'd like to say about this movie?
Oh, goodness. that's hard. We had a fantastic time making it, and it was a long journey, and I hope people enjoy it and that comes across and come out to see it. And, yeah, I love seeing it in the big theater with people. It's a dying experience. Going to the theater and seeing
not a dying experience, a live experience.
Yeah, that's true. A live experience, although it's independent wise, it's hard to see a lot of these films. That's,
right,
that's what I mean. Yeah.
So thanks a lot, May. It was great talking with you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Great talking to you.
I've been speaking with May Charters, the co-director of the new movie Lovers in a Dangerous Time that opens next week in Toronto. This is Daniel Garber, the movies for CIUT 89.5 FM and on culturalmining.com.